Are you prepared to bug out? Infidel Body Armor and an Army Ranger have produced a high-speed DVD and book to show you how to drive in combat, patrol, and how to survive in combat. Skills you'll need when it hits the fan. Go to DrivenDVD.com. DrivenDVD.com.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Herbs have been used by people since the dawn of time. When Rockefeller introduced allopathic medicine, many herbal remedies fell by the wayside as people put their faith in prescription pills and the world just gets sicker. Here at Heathen Herbs, we look to the past and to nature for answers. We offer tinctures, magnesium skin cream, lip balm, tooth powder, colloidal silver throat spray, and more. Check us out at heathenherbs.com.
You're listening to Resolution Radio at resolutionrdo.com.
Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. Just this week, a black female nominated to serve on the Washington regime's Supreme Court told us that she couldn't define what a woman is. If anyone hearing my voice thinks that congressional confirmation hearings are ways to get at truth, you're too big a fool to be listening to this broadcast. Such hearings are a way to test any nominee to make sure that each and every one of them has absolutely no independence of thought, no deviation from the Jewish white genocide agenda is allowed within 1,000 miles of the Supreme Court bench. So, we have no way to know what this affirmative action negress, Ketanji Brown Jackson's, real opinions or principles are on the topic, if indeed she has any. But everyone knows she refused to define what a woman is because the Jews' rapidly mutating agenda requires that we accept as quote-unquote women men who drug and mutilate and sterilize themselves, behaviors that Jews want to encourage because it reduces the white birth rate. Any definition of what a woman is, or a man for that matter, might get in the way of future sex-related horrors the Jews have in store for us as they try to wipe us from the face of the earth through sabotaging our natural reproduction. And make no mistake about it, the Jews own the regime in Washington. Talk about that regime today, and you're talking about communism. Actually, it's even worse than that. The Soviets, once the more radical Jews there were out of power, didn't do everything they could to stop their own citizens from reproducing. They didn't tell their citizens that men can be women, and women can be men, and that 10-year-olds cutting their genitals off and chemically suppressing puberty was normal or heroic. That's the kind of thing the communists promoted or did to other nations to weaken and destroy them. The Soviets didn't import millions of Africans or mestizos into Eastern Europe, though they did encourage that sort of thing in the hated West to weaken and destroy it. That should make thoughtful white Americans pause and think about how we ended up being ruled by our deadliest enemies, because that's exactly what has happened. 50 years ago, one didn't even have to use the terms white America or white American. Everyone knew that when you said American, you weren't referring to a mestizo or an Arab or an African. The nationality American was understood by practically everyone to mean that branch of the European race that had settled between the Rio Grande and the Canadian border, or the other territories we controlled. But now, white Americans are in severe decline. Our birth rate has plummeted. Our borders are not defended and might as well no longer exist. Our military is the plaything of Zionist warmongers. And as far as new births in our maternity wards go, we are already an absolute minority in the nation our forefathers created. Why did this happen? The short answer to that question is that it happened because someone wanted it to happen. Massive social, demographic, and political change doesn't just happen by itself. White people have developed a pathological reluctance to publicly identify themselves as white people, or to assert or even admit that we whites have common interests. This kind of psychological sickness is common in conquered peoples. White people are afraid to state that whites are threatened as a race, even when the threat is obvious, such as with the mestizo invasion. So, for example, when some whites have the courage to oppose that invasion, they'll often couch their opposition in terms of overcrowding, or the failure of new immigrants to learn English, or the immigration being too fast and too much to allow for assimilation, or some other such conservative platitude. Hell, assimilation is exactly what we don't want. Assimilation leads to crossbreeding, and crossbreeding equals death for us. These conservatives refuse to come out and say that mestizo immigration threatens the survival of the white race and white civilization. These conservatives refuse to say that non-whites cannot be assimilated into our population without altering what we are, without effectively killing us, even if they wanted to, because the biological differences between us are too great. And these cowards who refuse to speak the truth on race suppose that such weak-kneed, bowing and scraping before the Jewish race-mixing agenda can somehow stop the brown tide from our southern marches. White America has truly become the nation which dares not speak its name. And any nation which does not dare to speak its name, any people which is ashamed to admit that it is a people, will soon perish from the earth. This planet is teeming with human life, and only about 10 to 15% of those human beings are white, a percentage that is shrinking precipitously every day, as whites contracept and abort themselves into oblivion, and non-white growth charts begin to approximate a vertical line. All human life, all national life, of every race, is a struggle for territory and water and food and resources, without which a people is doomed. All human life is competition waged to determine whose children shall live and prosper, and whose children will be pushed out, whose children will starve, and whose children will replenish or fail to replenish the earth with their kind. With less than 15% of the world population, and probably far less than 7% of the young population, whites are losing that competition. We still nominally control a larger share of territory than 15%, very desirable territory, in fact. But all of our territories are now heavily invaded by non-whites, and all are ruled by white servants of our deadly non-white enemy. And we stand to lose them and leave our children nothing unless we change our attitudes immediately and begin working to secure our nations for future generations of our race. That's why every single white man or woman who hears my voice needs to join the National Alliance. As I said, this planet is teeming with human life, and the other races, even those who may not have our technology and science or the intelligence to create anything like them, are not ashamed to stand up for their racial interests and proudly declare that their race and nation and culture have a right to survive. Whites must regain an aggressive and racially assertive attitude too, or we will surely perish. Whites used to have a racially assertive attitude. We were proud of our race and its accomplishments. We cared about our race's future, and we arranged our society to protect our racial integrity. In the year 1790, the American Constitution was only 1 year old. The men who had framed it and written it and ratified it were in many cases serving in the Congress and in other governmental offices in the United States. Many of these same men had fought in the American Revolution only a few years before. The President of the United States was George Washington, And it was in the year 1790 that those very men passed, and President Washington signed, a law called the Naturalization Act of 1790. The Naturalization Act of 1790, which was on the books for 162 years, specified that only white people could become citizens of the United States. Many states had statutes, and Thomas Jefferson himself was the author of some, that provided severe penalties for racial mixing, which was officially forbidden by law. The founding fathers should have made it much clearer and more explicit. It should have been in an unamendable definition of our nation. But they failed to do so. To everyone alive then, when they said this nation was for their sacred posterity, it was clear that they meant America was a white nation, of, by, and for white people only. They hadn't counted on Jews coming in and taking over our mass media and educational system and confusing our people as a prelude to wiping us out. As late as 1924, even entry to the country was limited to protect the race even further. Our immigration laws specified that the national origin of the immigrants admitted each year had to be in proportion to the percentage of that nationality already present in the United States, which meant that virtually all immigrants had to be white. There was a fatal flaw in that law, though, in that it did not distinguish between Jews and whites, so that a Jew from Poland or Germany was counted as Polish or German instead of as a racially alien Jew. But the point I'm making here is that our lawmakers and the citizens they represented were almost unanimously in favor of preserving the white character of the United States, and in preserving the integrity of our race. As just one example of the laws which were designed to protect the health of the race and ensure its continued survival, I refer you to the state of Virginia, which I called home for a good part of my life, and a law enacted there called the Virginia Racial Integrity Act of 1924. This law required the racial ancestry of all marriage license applicants to be ascertained and recorded, and forbid the marriage of whites with non-whites. And here is the law itself. Quote, "An act to preserve racial integrity. Be it enacted by the General Assembly of Virginia that the State Registrar of Vital Statistics may, as soon as practicable, after the taking effect of this act, prepare a form whereon the racial composition of any individual as Caucasian, Negro, Mongolian, American Indian, Asiatic Indian, Malay, or any mixture thereof, or any other non-Caucasian strains, and if there be any mixture, then the racial composition of the parents and other ancestors, in so far as ascertainable, so as to show in what generation such mixture occurred, may be certified by such individual, which form shall be known as a registration certificate. It shall be a felony for any person willfully or knowingly to make a registration certificate false as to color or race. The willful making of a false registration or birth certificate shall be punished by confinement in the penitentiary for 1 year. No marriage license shall be granted until the clerk or deputy clerk has reasonable assurance that the statements as to color of both man and woman are correct. If there is reasonable cause to disbelieve that applicants are of pure white race, when that fact is stated, the clerk or deputy clerk shall withhold the granting of the license until satisfactory proof is produced that both applicants are white persons as provided for in this act. The clerk or deputy clerk shall use the same care to assure himself that both applicants are colored when that fact is claimed. It shall hereafter be unlawful for any white person in this state to marry any save a white person, or a person with no other admixture of blood than white and American Indian. For the purpose of this act, the term white person shall apply only to the person who has no trace whatsoever of any blood other than Caucasian, but persons who have 1/16th or less of the blood of the American Indian and have no other non-Caucasian blood shall be deemed to be white persons. All laws heretofore passed and now in effect regarding the intermarriage of white and colored persons shall apply to marriages prohibited by this act. All acts or parts of acts inconsistent with this act are, to the extent of such inconsistency, hereby repealed. Close quote. Now, this act had several serious flaws, which I'll discuss here, most notably no provision for defining Jews or other Semites racially as non-white. But it was an effort to protect white racial integrity, and it was passed less than a century ago. We'll continue my thoughts on the nation that dare not speak its name next week. Now, let me take a moment to tell you about our upcoming Volume 12 of our Power of Truth CD series of speeches and broadcasts by Dr. William Pierce. It has been a grueling process for me, editing and remastering these fragile, decayed master tape recordings. In the powerful speeches chosen for this volume, a phenomenon called print-through was causing background echoes in the audio to interfere with the sound of Dr. Pierce's voice. I have had no choice but to laboriously, by hand, replace the background echoes where I could with ambient background from the same recording. Sometimes there are 10 or more edits I have to make in one single sentence. Early on in the process, I felt sure that the CD could be available for purchase this month, but this CD has been much harder than usual, and I refuse to compromise on getting the maximum quality possible out of these precious, important speeches by our founder. I am almost done. I'm on the 16th of 20 tracks, so I feel sure you won't have to wait much longer. A National Alliance supporter has promised me he'll help us by getting me some software that will speed up the process by several percent, for which I am very grateful. Once I get over the learning curve for the software, it will help us with the Power of Truth, volumes 13 and beyond. We'll be adding the new CD to our catalog soon, and I'll announce its availability here. Keep an eye on our bookstore at cosmotheistchurch.org. And I'll see you next time, right here on American Dissident Voices.
You're listening to Resolution Radio, Radio, Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
My brothers, my sisters, I bring you a message of solidarity, a call to action, and a demand for adherence to duty of an Aryan resurgence and ultimately total Aryan victory. We have broken the chains of Jewish thought. We know not the meaning of the word mine, it is ours. Our race, the totality of our people. 10 hearts, one beat. 100 hearts, one beat. 10,000 hearts, one beat. We are born to fight and to die and to continue the flow. The flow of our people. Onward we will go, onward to the stars, high above the mud of yellow, black, and brown. So kinsmen, duty calls. The future is now. If months from now you have not yet fully committed yourself to the alliance, then you have in effect not only betrayed your race, you have betrayed yourself. So stand up like men and drive the enemy into the sea. Stand up like men and swear a sacred oath upon the green graves of our sires that you will reclaim what our forefathers discovered, explored, conquered, settled, built, and died for. Stand up like men and reclaim our soil. Kinsmen, arise. Look towards the stars and proclaim our destiny. Defeat never, victory forever.
You've made a serious investment in protecting yourself and your family. You've purchased the gun, the ammunition, the training, and even secured a license to carry in your state. You know the Constitution and don't believe you should have to pay for a right that you already have, as written in the Second Amendment, but you are law-abiding. Now you are considering the legal defense options you should have if you ever have to use a firearm. Self-Defense Fund is a comprehensive litigation membership backing you on appeals, legal expenses, court costs, and more. Up to $1 million per incident and unlimited attorney costs per member. Discover selfdefensefund.com for yourself. Any weapon, any state, any time.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
I believe in race. I'm not ashamed to admit it at all. And that doesn't mean one bit that I'm out to persecute or hurt any man because of his race. He can't help what race he is. We believe that each race has particular geniuses and particular faults. The white race has built white Western civilization, and we think the white race should dominate in that area. National socialism fundamentally is the application of science not only to inanimate objects and animals, but to mankind himself. We believe that the communists, the Marxists, have one fatal error in their doctrine. A place where absolutely there's a hole and there's no explanation for it. They admit evolution. They admit that animals vary by breed and that you can breed better and worse animals. Now, how do they explain how there is a sudden dividing line when you come to one particular animal called man? They have no explanation. Time and again, when I've asked them, they have no explanation. They just say, if it's got two legs and it stands on its hind feet, then it suddenly becomes a special being and there is absolute equality. They're all the same. Man is an animal just like all the rest of the animals. He's more intelligent, but he must obey nature's laws. And that insofar as he is an animal, he must obey the laws that pertain to animals. We say that when the white race has produced such a wonderful thing as Western civilization, we should treasure the people that have produced that and can maintain it. And we should not mix them all up with other kinds of civilizations, whether or not they're good. We should certainly try to preserve it just the way the farmer preserves his better grade of stock. We are also, socially speaking, tribalists. You must live as social beings. You have to live with other people. And this is impossible unless you observe certain fundamental laws of the tribe, the ancient Indian tribe, any kind of tribe of people, even a wolf pack, has got to have certain fundamental things. One of these things is leadership. Not leadership by the most popular, but by the strongest and the best. Any tribe or Indian tribe or any group or family should be led by the best and the strongest. Otherwise, it disintegrates. It's got to have group pride and loyalty. You've got to have selection in the mating process, something that we have almost lost now. We believe that it is of fundamental importance to society that the strongest, cleverest, and the best of the men mate with the best type of women who will make good mothers. And when you destroy that machinery, you get what we have now. We believe that you have got to have an organic society. Now, by an organic society, we mean a society, not a dictatorship, but a society in which the parts of the society cooperate together in different functions and in peace and harmony, just the way your body works. Cancer is the wild, uncontrolled growth of cells at the expense of all the rest of the body, and that's what you have in Washington, D.C. right now. Cancer. We believe in private property and free enterprise. It is impossible, we believe, to have a society in which there is any real work going on unless people can get the reward of their effort. And at the same time, we believe you've got to have social justice. You cannot have people who are exploiting and squeezing little helpless people economically. And this is where I get in trouble with the conservatives, because most of today's conservatives, I've discovered, are reactionaries. They're real anxious to hold on to their money. They don't care how they have to figure it out. They just want those money bags. And they come up with any kind of rationale to keep it. Every national socialist believes in idealism, believes in something that is worth more than his own one single human life. He's willing to die for something. When you're ready to die for something, then you're alive. And until you are ready to die for something, you have no real fanaticism. And just at dinner a little while ago with some of the fellows there, they said, were telling me, well, it's terrible to be a fanatic. Well, did you ever stop and think how this country got here? How all the great inventions ever got there? Any one of you out there that is not a fanatic on something or other, whatever it is you're studying, if you're going to be a doctor, be a fanatical doctor. Otherwise, you'll be nothing. You'll just be an ordinary old chug-chugging guy, and when you die, nobody will notice it. But if you're a fanatic, you'll produce something great. You'll create. Creativity is fanaticism. Every creative genius has had to be a fanatic. Many of them have been burned at the stake. So we are ideological and idealistic fanatics. Just like the communists, by the way. In between the Nazis and the communists is the great mass of non-fanatics. The TV watchers and the comic book readers. I will say this. National socialism is the inevitable end product, logically, of evolution. If you believe in evolution, you've got to be a Nazi if you think about it long enough. You can't help it. But what happens is people short-circuit it. The minute they believe in evolution and scientific breeding until they come to that two-legged animal that stands up on its hind legs, then all the rules are up. We say that's not possible. You either believe in the scientific method and the truth, and you apply it to yourself without egotism, or else you don't believe in the scientific method and you're kidding yourself. Nazis believe in ruthless application of the truth, not only to inanimate matter and animals, but to you animals. People, all of us, are the same insofar as we are animals and must survive and live as animals. And unless we breed ourselves better, we're going to get worse. That's what's happening. I do worship nature in that I'm humble. When I see the mighty, awesome power of nature, and believe me, I've seen some terrific power of nature, the typhoons off Japan during the war, earthquakes. I've been through some tremendous cataclysms on this earth. And compared to them, the atomic bomb is like a firecracker, nothing. And when you start to think of the enormity of space, our spacemen are just going around at the very bottom levels of space. They're no place yet. There are over 100 million planets where life, just like here, could exist. And in the face of that awesome probability, not possibility, probability, I say it's ridiculous to be egocentric and say we are the center of all things. Everything turns around us. We Nazis are humble. When I look at nature and realize how ignorant and small and feeble and weak and little we are, Nazism is a philosophy of nature, a way of looking at the world. And as I've pointed out, we believe in tribalism. We don't think we're above that. We think that you've got to have pride in your family, pride in your race, pride in your nation. That's not something to laugh at. Patriotism and pride in family and pride in race is something we should be proud of and cultivate, work on, not get rid of. Finally, we believe in morals. We believe in the traditions of goodness, virtue. Now, I told you something about what we are, but I'll do as good as I can in telling you what I think our enemies are. And our enemies, make no mistake about it, are the Marxists. The philosophy of Marxism, I believe, is the enemy of all humanity. It's the reverse of humanity. We say communism itself is the most vicious, antisocial doctrine the world has ever known, and here's why. They completely deny the very basis on which any human order can exist at all. Without humans, or at least without civilized humans, you certainly can't have human order. And the communists say they don't believe in race. They believe in absolute equality. The pygmies, the aborigines of Australia, everybody, send them, let them all come to Carlton, and they'll all write arias and books, and the cannibals will be producing the music and verses. That's all you have to do is educate them. And this simply is not true. This results in chaos, social chaos, which is what we have now. They don't believe in enterprise. They don't believe that people should work for themselves. They believe that the state should come and tell them what to do. They don't believe in private property. They don't believe that you can keep the fruits of your production. They don't have, above all, they have no spiritual ideal. We say the only thing that's worth protecting with your life is ideals and your family, your race, and your nation. And twice in my lifetime, I've been called upon to go out and risk getting killed. And I saw a lot of other young men doing this. Young fanatics that they made out of us, by the way. They made us real fanatic haters of the Germans and fanatic haters of the Japanese. Nobody protested that that was bad to be a fanatic when we were fighting those Japs, and I assure you we all were. Finally, the communists, if you remember when they first got in power in Russia, they are against morals. They had free love, no morals at all, everything was have a ball. And the result was they almost tore Russia to pieces, they just fell apart. Now, if you'll notice, they are almost puritanical in Russia. In order to make the thing work, they've had to go back to the very principles of tribalism which we're advocating. You can't work society with a communist pipe dream. Civilization is based on self-sacrifice, on the willingness of men to go out and die for what they believe in. When you get rid of that self-sacrifice, you get anarchy. Civilization is built because I am willing to give up something for my family. And the family is willing to give up something in order to have the town succeed. And the town is willing to give up something so the state can be in business. And the state is willing to give up something so the nation can succeed. Self-sacrifice is the first principle of civilization. Communism has got the fanaticism to destroy you, and it's doing it. And unless you can build up a counter-fanaticism for something you believe in positively, you will be destroyed. You are being destroyed.
Recently, there was a report out that among new babies that were born, this happened last year, minorities were now the majority, that whites were officially the minority.
And they're boasting about it. Khrushchev just said, America's so liberal, they'll never fight. And I think there's a lot of truth to that, but we're going to change that. It won't be quite so liberal. After we've had a chance to make America understand what it is and make it conscious of itself and its greatness and its people and the white race understand that they're worthy of protecting themselves, that they don't have to keep humbling and downgrading themselves while other races are standing up and saying, look at us, how great we are. We keep saying we're ashamed of ourselves for being white. That's a terrible thing. The thing for each race to do is be proud of itself. And the white people, and the good people of this country, when they finally realize that they can do that without hurting or being obnoxious to anybody else, they will finally become fanatics to survive, to keep this great country going.